Peace Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual opportunity of the winter solstice. And before we start, I'd like to give a few credits and accolades to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. From the very night of time, the period wherein the sun moves northward again has been regarded as a festival season. For thousands of years, it has been associated with the coming of the sun god to save the world, to bring light to the earth and hope to humanity. Is there any spiritual significance to the fact that Christmas follows so soon after the winter solstice?
Yes, there is. According to the ageless wisdom, people might not have connected the two before. And in part, that might be because most of us in the Western Christianized world are so indoctrinated with the modern version of Christmas, which is shopping, food, family, more shopping, Santa Claus, shopping, and so on, that it's hard to really think through this huge layer of modern expression of Christmas to get to the real ancient symbology of it. And it's also linked, I think, for most of us with memories of our childhood, with links to our family, as well as to materialism. And it's even gotten caught up in the modern dispute over displays of the baby Jesus in public places and so on. And so there's a lot about Christmas today that just has no relation at all to the original ageless wisdom teaching. But in fact, when you realize that Christmas in its deepest significance is in fact a universal festival, that is not diminishing of Christ, but it's in a way a verification that he was actually the latest in a long evolutionary line of sun gods that have influenced world religions and the ageless wisdom over eons.
Yes, I think that's the shame of it all. That's what's lost, is the because of the materialization of Christmas, that what is lost is any sense of continuity with that ancient past. And I think any connection with this holiday with other ancient cultures and religions, we have all lost all of that. And we see the birth of Christ as only pertaining to Christianity, when in fact it is simply the latest unfoldment of the divine light in human consciousness that began literally thousands of years before Christ. So, I mean, it's if we could connect ourselves with that ancient past, I think it would provide more meaning, for more deeper meaning to our sense of what this holiday really should be about.
There's also the significance of the darkness of the winter solstice. The moment of the winter solstice, December 21st, is when the sun in the northern hemisphere has reached its greatest, or its deepest nadir, we could say, and the days are shortest, the nights are longest. But another way of looking at it is, this is also the moment when the sun reverses its course and begins to ascend northward, so that the days from now on will become longer and longer in a very gradual, incremental sense, until finally the summer solstice on or about June 21st. And there's great spiritual significance in this, because it has to do with light and dark. Christ proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." And it's no accident that he and these other sun gods were born at the time of the winter solstice, or a few days after. In fact, Alice Bailey researched the whole issue in her book, From Bethlehem to Calvary, and she wrote about a number of religious traditions celebrating the birth of their sun gods at the time of December 25th. We think that's a date that's always been associated with Christianity, but in fact, she says, in the very early years, there were, I think, something like 150 different calendar dates that were at various times marked to denote the birth of Jesus. Finally, in the Roman period, when the church was consolidating itself, they settled on December 25th. And that links it with, for example, the Mithraic religion of Persia, which celebrates the birth of the sun god on that date, and Egyptian religion, which marked the birth of Horus, the god Horus, on December 25th, and pagan Britain celebrated December 25th as the dawn of spiritual revelation, again tied in with the coming of the sun into greater prominence.
And I think they, as I understand from reading my history, that they adapted it to the, which was celebration by the pagans at that time, so they adapted it to the pagan rituals that mm-hmm. occurred around the time of the 25th of December, and as a way of making Christianity perhaps a more accepted religion at the time. And, you know, in the early days of religion, this would go back to the first and second centuries, and so they were still competing with the pagan religions and all other Greek religions with the Greek gods and the myths, and Christianity was just one of very many at that time, so they had to adapt to the order of the day, so to speak, and that was one way of keeping the Christians, giving them their particular holiday too.
There are other parallels that link the solstice and the birth of the sun god of Christ. There are astronomical links that are quite fascinating. At that moment of the year, the 24th of December, the constellation of Virgo is on the horizon, rising in the east. And Virgo is symbolized by the Virgin, so one immediately thinks of Mary. And these parallels of the virgin birth of the sun god are found in the very religions I mentioned, and others. There are numerous examples of great spiritual leaders on the level of Christ, of Horus, of Mithraeus, who were born of virgin mother. And there's symbology in this that is linked to the constellation Virgo being on the horizon. The fact of Mary is symbolic of the third person of the Trinity, because Mary, Mater, Mother, represents the guarding, fecundating aspect of matter into which Christ, the Christ principle or the soul, must incarnate for the redemption of matter. Christ was born in a cave, it said, not in a stable, because most stables were actually carved out of the earth in those ancient times. He was more likely born in a cave, as were many of the sun gods, again symbolizing the coming of great spiritual potency into deepest, densest matter. He was born in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, and earth is symbolically the place where the right distribution and sharing of material resources must occur, bread symbolizing the right use of matter, the nourishing aspect of the material form for the Christ principle which seeks to incarnate on earth. I don't know if any of that makes sense.
Well, that's the thing. There were very many astrological connections made in those days because the astronomers and the astrologers at the time were much more prominent and they were respected. And so they had a deeper understanding of the constellations, not in the scientific way that we look at them today, but they had meaning in giving meaning to people's lives. They're a way of bringing teaching the people by using the stars, the constellations. Virgo was on the horizon, would appear, the constellation Virgo would appear on the horizon at that time of the year, and so it fitted in very well with the whole theme of the Mary and the mother and the child. And also the sun of Sirius was also a prominent star, and some people think that that was the star that led the three wise men to the to the manger.
Yes,
so
huge,
I mean,
huge star.
And in fact, star Sirius is quite related to our Earth. And, I mean, the influence of Sirius is related to our own spiritual hierarchy. So there are these ancient connections that really, if we would study them more, would really broaden our whole understanding of this holiday.
There's one more astronomical connection in this constellation of Virgo is three stars that form the shape of a cup, and that's symbolic of the Holy Grail, which is an ancient myth. In the Ageless Wisdom, the Holy Grail symbolizes the cup of matter, the repository of matter into which pure spirit must incarnate for the quickening of the material substance of our planet and everything that lives on it. So within the heavens is contained so much of spiritual implication that really makes Christmas and the winter solstice an inspiring and meaningful period.
For those two people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the spiritual opportunity of the winter solstice. And we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today. It's one of the Alice Bailey books, From Bethlehem to Calvary. And in Bethlehem, From Bethlehem to Calvary, what you're going to find in that is that it interprets, Alice Bailey interprets the life of Christ in terms of the five initiations of the spiritual path. And From Bethlehem to Calvary, it also within that book, you'll find discussions of the significance of Christmas, as mentioned in today's program. And it also offers many interesting references on the mythology of the sun gods. Once again, the title is From Bethlehem to Calvary. When you call, ask for the book, the Alice Bailey book, From Bethlehem to Calvary. The special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so it's available for $12. And if you want the book, what you need to do is write a check or send a money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, the book is From Bethlehem to Calvary, and the show that you're hearing today is based on that book. Anytime you'd like to order books or cassette tapes or schedules of our meditation meetings, you can certainly do so. One of the most popular items, and of course the general package of information is for free, but that's one of the most popular items that we send out. It tells you a lot about Lucis Trust. So if you'd like to call us for any of those reasons or other reasons, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Now, we have a website also. The website is www.lucistrust.org. And you can find out a lot of information about Lucis Trust by keying into our website. One of the most frequent reasons that people key into the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows that we've done. We've got so many topics, so many themes on there that you might enjoy listening to. So once again, you can key into the website by www.lucistrust.org. We also appreciate your donations.
May I interrupt for a minute, Robert, about this archive of our programs on our website? We're now converting them to MP3 technology, which means that people can import the program from the website into their own personal sound system.
Well, that's certainly good information. Maybe Dale, you have any comment to make on that?
Yes, some of our listeners have called in and would like to have it prepared for their iPods,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're doing. We're changing it to transforming the stations into the programs, rather, into MP3, and little by little, we haven't done them all yet, but little by little, we're doing them as we can get to them, and so that they are available in that format, and anybody can download them now.
When you drive or walk around or whatever, or ride the subway, you can listen to the program. That's the idea. So we're trying to get with the new technology.
Well, I really like that. That's a great idea, and I'm glad to see that the wheels of progress are moving forward at Lucis Trust. And also, I just wanted to mention that we appreciate all those donations that you do send in. They really help keep us on the air. So if you'd like to give us further support, we really would like that, because we've got so many expenses, and the radio show is just one of them. So any donations that you might want to send us, send them to Lucis Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we said the title of the show, The Spiritual Opportunity of the Winter Solstice, that's our title, but what would you, in terms of spiritual opportunity, what would you say is the opportunity there?
I would think it is to realize that the whole story of the birth of Christ, which is contained within the celebration of Christmas, is an enactment of an event that has to happen to every human being. He was demonstrating or reenacting or embodying a spiritual evolution that has to happen in the life of every human being. There's an interesting comment about Mary that was made by the great German mystic Meister Eckhart. He said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. Every human being is meant to give birth to the Christ principle, which is said to be born in the cave of the human heart." In other words, the awakening of the Christ principle, which is the realization of the soul, has to happen in the life of every human being at some point in his evolutionary journey. And that is the whole meaning and significance behind Christmas, that it isn't an event that just happened 2,000 years ago, but that is symbolic of the path even today.
Yes, it's a continuation of a very long history, of a very unfolding drama, of actually the unfoldment of light in human consciousness, and light and love, and the Christ coming into the world 2,000 years ago as the embodiment of the love of God was just the latest in this long unfolding process, and it has a very ancient tradition, probably going back to Atlantean times, some of the symbolism. So we're still part of the process, and the materialization, to get back to this materialization of Christmas that we've just come through, it's kind of a huge, big distraction from what we should be learning to understand about this tremendous holiday time.
It's also interesting that the materialization of Christmas is a devastation of the real spiritual implications of the birth of Christ in the cave, which is the giving birth to the soul in matter for the redemption of the material realm. That's why Christ was born. That's why all sun gods come to earth, to redeem matter, to spiritualize substance. And so we have taken that very act of sacrifice and deep spiritual celebration and turned it into a shopping holiday. It makes you wonder if we might have missed the message.
It's not really
do
funny.
You think?
Sorry, I'm laughing. But
how dense can we be? The very holiday that is supposed to celebrate the spiritualization of matter is the one in which we most shop our brains out.
And our economy depends on it.
Yes.
It would collapse because so many of our large stores and businesses, they depend on the holiday season.
We might have missed the point then about this whole
thing. I think we might have. I don't know what happened to the idea of getting an orange in one's Christmas stocking. That doesn't seem
right. Or a bag of coal when warranted.
Well, there's so much that can be said about this story of Christmas and the coming of the sun gods. There's another parallel that runs throughout a number of world religions, the long journey. Everyone knows that Joseph and Mary were on a journey when Mary gave birth in Bethlehem, and that parallel is found in other religions. The journey, I suppose, being a symbolic reenactment of the spiritual evolutionary path. The sun god literally was born on a journey, symbolizing progress, growth, and evolution, the journeying of the spiritual way that each and every one of us has to tread. You can't remain static. You can't remain fixed in one spot if you are to evolve spiritually. And so these sun gods are literally born on a journey far from their home.
And that's the great story of the prodigal son, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go on a journey and you into the dense world and you gain your experience and your suffering and your pain in that dense physical world, but then you lift yourself up and head back towards the Father's home. And that's been the story for eons on this planet. But I was just going to say, too, you mentioned some of the other traditions in, related to Christ, and also there are these same traditions related to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is also has a very ancient tradition going before Mary, the mother of Christ. And that goes back to because in the ancient Greek mythology of Bacchus, for example, the mother of Bacchus was Myra,
mm-hmm.
and the mother of Mercury or Hermes was Myra or Maya.
Wasn't that the name of the Buddhist mother also?
Yes, and the Buddhist. So it's all in these ancient.
These aren't accidents.
No, it's a very deliberate, and it makes you wonder. I think early Christian clerics also adopted Mary in the same way, to be part of this same ancient tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we have touched before in these programs on the nature of the avatar. That is really what the sun god is, whether we're talking about Christ or Buddha or Mithras or Horus. An avatar is literally one who comes down from far above, bringing to earth some aspect of divine potency that entity, that avatar, is able to anchor forevermore in human experience. And this is an enactment of the linking within the human being of both divinity and humanity. Every human being is a merging of the two, the divine component deep within the human heart and the material outer component of the physical body. That this happens at the moment of the winter solstice is symbolized in the point of light marked by the birth of the sun god at the time of deepest darkness. And when you think about it, we couldn't appreciate light if we didn't have dark as a comparison. The point of light at the darkest moment of the year is in its own way the most brilliant. This embodiment of light was the message of the Buddha, another avatar. Be a lamp unto your own feet, he commanded. Christ was the embodiment of divine love. And each program that we finish culminates with the sounding of the great invocation. If you think about the second stanza, from the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. That is the invocation of the Christ, which is celebrated at each Christmas. Christ comes to earth. The soul is awakened within every human heart. That's the promise of the spiritual path, and Christmas is that celebration each year.
Please take advantage of our special offer from Lucy Strauss, and that's the book, From Bethlehem to Calvary, and that's by Alice Bailey. And our show is based on this book today. Once again, the book is From Bethlehem to Calvary by Alice Bailey. And if you'd like to do that, if you'd like that book, please send us a check or money order, $12, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, the book is From Bethlehem to Calvary. It's available for $12, and the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. And anything that you've enjoyed about this show, you can find it in greater depth within the book, From Bethlehem to Calvary. And once again, too, if you'd like to call on our 800 number, you're certainly free to do that. Our 800 number is 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.